Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the Word of God? You ready? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, as I say, you've heard me occasionally talk about this young man. His name's Sammy. Say, hi, Sammy. Hi, Sammy. Sammy Thomas. And he was a young man that was in our youth group some 30 years ago, yeah? And I used to say, God, why me? What did I do wrong to have him in my youth group? Why couldn't you have sent him somewhere else, Lord? What did I do wrong to have him in my youth group? I worked on him. I was mean to him. Is that true? Yeah. And I think he went off to Spain as a missionary. And I've often said, I think he went to Spain as a missionary just to get away from me. Because at times I was so mean to him. But he was so mean back. But you know, the Lord got hold of him. And when Jesus gets hold of you, he changes your life. And the Lord got hold of Sammy and called him to go to Spain to work in the mission field out there. And you know, he stayed there all that time and worked, got a family out there and works in a church out there and just continues to do the ministry of God. And you know, I look at Sammy's life and I say, well, thank God, Grace and I had some involvement. We sowed some good seed, we believe, into his life over the years that we knew him. And God is using him for his praise and for his glory. And you know, the lives that he's touched, we rejoice in that because that's part of what we did. Like with Daniel, you know, lives. These, you guys, you know, we've sown into young people's lives and we've seen God ministering into you and to your families, and we just keep rejoicing in that. And so it goes on and on and on. And we just give God praise. And Sammy's come over to see his mum. His mum's had a little bit of a stroke. And we were praying for her this last couple of days. She's recovered well, praise God. And he's rejoicing in that. And he came over yesterday and sent me a message on Skype and said, where are you? And I said, well, I'm just going home in half an hour. So he said he met up and he was only coming for half an hour. Half an hour turned out to be, what, 5 hours? Something like that, you know. But when the presence of the Lord comes in and you renew that fellowship, and when you've got that same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, when it clicks, you just can't let them go, can you? You just want to be around them. When that same spirit that's in you is in me, you just want to stay there and be with them because it's special. Hallelujah. And so, in the end, I had to kick him out. I had to send him back to his mother. I should have done that years ago. Hallelujah. And I took the opportunity. I thought, while he's over from Spain, I'll ask him to come and minister to the people here. And just let him share the word of the Lord with you guys. And just encourage you. And you encourage him also. Because we're brethren together in Jesus' name. He'll not speak in Spanish, thank God. Hopefully he'll speak in English most of the time. He may drop into some Spanish, who knows, you know, get carried away. But, yeah. Hasta la vista, eh? Oh, glory to Jesus. So, we're going to rejoice and praise God together. So, let's give a good welcome in Jesus' name. Sammy, hallelujah.
Great to be with you all. Can I ask you a question? Why have you come today? What's the real reason you're here today? If you come just to sing a few songs, you've come to the wrong place. If you come just to warm a seat up, you've come to the wrong place. But if you come to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, here it is. God is here this today. Do you believe that? Can I have a smile on the face? Yeah. Jesus is alive. I'll tell you what. Andrew says, he used to say, God, why me? I did as well. I used to say, God, why did you put that guy in front of me? I used to be that small, you know. And he was telling me that one day we went away on a trip to Wentworth Hall, was it? Yeah, Wentworth House, yeah. And I was in the corridor and I'm dancing like this and in front of all these girls and that, and he was behind me. At midnight, I shouldn't be doing that. And he gets his slip, and his shoe is good. It slips off like that, back of my head. Boom! Never forget it. We've had some good times. And you know, when God changes somebody, he changes them. I am a living testimony of what God did in my life. I was what would you say? Yeah, worse than that. There was no hope for me. Secularly speaking, there was no hope. But God got hold of me, threw me down, picked me up, cleaned me off, and said, I'm going to use you. And that's what he did. I had no studies. I was expelled from school at 15 for the last time. I've been expelled 4 times. And God used me. And he got somebody who was a nobody, somebody from the lowest pits, somebody who liked fighting, somebody liked causing trouble, somebody liked causing damage, somebody liked everything bad under the world. He got me and chose me to do a work in Spain. And God just started calling my life, and he got me out in Spain. And, you know, when I was telling Andrew, when I was on a 3-month course in Wales, the Lord said to me, I want you to go to Spain, but I just didn't want to go. So anyway, I ended up going there after 2 years fighting against the Lord. And I'm on this course, and I had to learn Spanish, and I didn't know a word of Spanish. I was terrible. I was the worst out of everybody. And there was 10 of us going to Spain, and there was about 100 odd going to other countries. And out of the 10 of us, after the 3 months training, a guy called Andy Smith, he was the missionary who was out in Spain, he came and interviewed us. And all I knew was a few words about my family. And I just said, Lord, if you want me to go, he's going to ask me about my family. So I walked in there and he says, tell me something about your family. Anyway, I started telling him a bit about my family after the meeting. And he came out and interviews us all again and says, look, 2 of you cannot go to Spain. You're going to be no use there. And that was me. I started crying. But I said, I'm not going. And he said, Faye and Steve cannot go. And I couldn't understand it because they knew a lot better Spanish than I did. And after the meeting, Andrew, he got me at one side. It's called Andrew as well. I don't know why this God puts all these Andrews in my life. And he says, Sammy, you should not go to Spain. You don't know a word of Spanish. You're terrible. But God told me that you've got to go. You're the one who's got to go to Spain. And God told me to make the leader of the team as well. So anyway, we went out to Spain. I was out there for a year. And after a year, we all came back. And the only person who stayed in Spain was me. The only person who picked the Spanish up quicker than anybody else was me. God, when he has a plan and purpose, no one can stop that plan. And I really want to thank God, because when I went out there, we started off the church with a family. It was just one family, the pastor and his children and his wife, and that was it, in the house. We now have a 2,000-odd square metre church. It's massive. There's a lot of work to do. We've been in there 8 years, and all the work we do it ourselves. And I want you to keep praying for us, because there is a big work to be done, and there's a lot of money to be raised, but we're trusting in God. Yes. Amen? Yes. So that's a little bit about me. So let's talk a little about God now. Amen. Are you hungry?
Yes.
For the Word of God?
Yes.
The rest of your food, you know, you have to eat at home. But we're going to have some food now. Okay. Well, I was praying and saying, Lord, what do you want me to speak to the church today? So, my word is called Blessing the Reward of Obedience and Faith. Blessing the Reward of Obedience and Faith. Now, I'm going to be speaking in the New King James Bible. Do you all have your Bible?
Yeah?
Okay. Let's pray. Father, we just give you praise. We give you all the glory. And I just pray now in Jesus' name that the words that come out of my mouth, Father, are going to be words that are going to touch people's lives. Father, we just put every person's life in your hands right now, Father. And we give you praise and we give you glory. And I just pray that this word is going to be powerful and touch lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So I'm going to be talking from the King James Version, okay? So let's open our Bibles up in Genesis chapter 22. Now, I must be honest with you. I'm not used to speaking in English, okay? I've been in Spain 25 years. I think in Spanish. I preach in Spanish. I sing in Spanish. I sleep in Spanish. I do everything in Spanish, or Catalan as well, because out there where I live in Catalonia, they speak Catalan more than anything else. So, or Spanish or Catalan, doesn't matter. But I don't think in English. I don't even read an English Bible. So it's been hard for me. I had to get my mum's Bible in English. And so if I start doing, it's because, you know, don't worry. It'll all come out in Jesus' name. Amen? A smile on your face? Jesus is here? Amen. Okay. Genesis chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Now take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering. Burnt offering on the one of the mountains which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took his two young men with him and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and arose and went to a place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took his wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took it to the fire in his hands and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham and his father and said, My father, and I, he said, and he said, Here I am, son. Then he said, Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar. And he bound Isaac and his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, Here I am. And he said, Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes up and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called his name this place, "The Lord will provide." And it is said today, "The mountain of the Lord will be provided." Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done these things and you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing will be blessed. Blessing, and I will bless you and multiply, and I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heavens and the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, in all nations, and the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned to his young men, and then rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. Isn't it strange how God works with man? Have you ever wondered how God works with man? Here we have this story about Abraham, and it's very clear that God works in strange ways. His ways aren't our ways, his thoughts are our thoughts. And sometimes when I see this story, it's in a fantastic, amazing story. It really touched my heart how God works with man. In Isaiah 55:9, it says, "As for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." His ways are higher than our ways, and thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What does that mean? That means we cannot organize God. We cannot say, put him in a jigsaw. We just cannot understand God. We will never be able to understand him, because he's a lot higher than us. His ways are a lot higher than our ways. In chapter 18, God promises Abraham and Sarah a son. Do you know how old Abraham was at that time? 99 years old. Hang on a minute. 99 years old. Do you know how old Sarah was? Sarah was 90 years old. Who's the oldest person in here today? 80s? 80 odd? Andrew is nearly there. But it doesn't matter. Okay. Can you imagine having a baby? No? Who's the oldest man in here? Maybe this one here. Can you imagine somebody at 90 years old, right? And God says, "You're going to have a baby." Hold on a minute. 90. And 99 years old, an old man like that going to have a baby. Come on. Come on. God is God. And nothing is impossible for God. If God says it, it's going to be done. If you believe it. Sarah didn't believe it. She laughed. When they said this, she laughed. I would. Come on, let's be honest with you. You know, it's impossible. But there's nothing impossible for God. So God, what did he do? He made a covenant with Abraham. And he said, "I'm going to give you a son at 99 years old. And your wife is going to have a son at 90 years old." And that covenant God made with Abraham. Has God made covenants with you before? God has made covenants with me. And I've seen his covenants come to pass in my life. And I've seen covenants not come to pass yet. But they will. Because if God tells you, it's going to happen. So what is a covenant exactly? I like sometimes to get the dictionary out, you know, because I'm not a very intelligent man. And I like to know what a word really means. But sometimes when I look up in the dictionary, I think, wow, it's fantastic. Okay, so the word covenant really means a binding agreement or contract. Binding agreement or contract. Secondly, an agreement in writing under seal as to pay a stated annual sum to a charity. Thirdly, a particular clause in such an agreement, ESP, in a lease, especially in a lease. Four, in early English law, an auction in which damages were sought for breach of a sealed agreement. And lastly, God's promise, this is in the dictionary, God's promise to the Israelites for their commitment to worship Him alone.
Wow.
Wow. I'll read that again. God's promise to the Israelites to their commitment to worship Him alone. Now, it's not just for them, but it's for you as well. If you worship Him alone, right, He's going to do a covenant with you. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Amen. So I do. So let's read Genesis 17 a minute. Genesis chapter 17. I haven't started my word yet, by the way. We're just warming up. Okay? And if anybody goes to sleep, I'll come and wake them up. All right? So there's no sleeping. Okay, Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him, to Abraham, and said to him, I am Almighty God. I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between you, between me and you, and you will multiply, and I will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold my covenant, which is with you, and you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but you will be called Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and you will make nations of you, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant. You just see that? Everlasting covenant. Because God's covenants aren't just for a short time. They're forever. Amen. Everlasting. To be God to you and in your land in which you are a stranger. All the land of Canaan and in everlasting possessions, and I will be their God. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant. And you and your descendants after you, there through their generations. Wow. In chapter 18, verse 9, God promises Abraham and Sarah a child. This happened. We see here, before, that God makes this covenant with him. Then we see after, that God blesses him with a son. So let's go back to chapter 22 now. Are you following me? You haven't lost me yet. Right. Okay, so Abraham, let's go back to chapter 22. Now it came to pass after these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him in a burnt offering one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Okay, so what I don't understand it. If God makes a covenant with somebody, he blesses that someone with that covenant, which is Isaac and Sarah, and he gives them the son that they have asked for, what he's promised to give them, and now he's asking to sacrifice him. I cannot understand it. It's not logical to me. Is it logical to you? Do you understand that? How many people are here are dads? I've got children. Okay. Can you imagine God telling you, come on, your only son, kill him for me? It's illogical. But the thing is, it's more illogical when we see that God blesses them with this pact, with this covenant. So for me, I don't understand it. Isaac was a promise from God, but God wanted to know really how much Abraham loved him. God wanted to know how much Abraham loved him. And this first point I call the great test. Because sometimes God puts us through these tests. Sometimes God says, right, I'm going to test you. I want to see how much you really love me. And really, it's time to see how much faith you have in me. Listen, the devil exists. Do you believe that? Do you believe the enemy exists? I really believe that. And he does. And he's here. And he's there. And his demons are everywhere. The devil can only be in one place. But the enemy is always trying to test you as well. Now, the difference between the enemy and the Lord, the enemy will test you to try and make you fall in sin. He'll put every obstacle in your way for you to fall in sin. But when God tests you, the difference is that he wants to build you up. Amen. Through that trial, through that tribulation, he will put you through it, and you will learn, and you will grow, and you'll be strengthened in the Lord. Amen. He will never give you anything to pull you down. He will always give you something to build you up. Because that is our amazing God. And that is how he works. So, God asked Abraham for his one and only son. Sometimes God asks us for our most precious thing. And you know, if we look at what God asked for Abraham, we know the end story. But look what God did. God ended up giving his one and only son for you and me. In the end, the one who did it was Jesus. Was God in himself. It was God who ended up giving his son Jesus Christ to die on a cross for us. So let's go back to where we were. So the first important point I want to say here is that Abraham heard the voice of God. God called him and he heard him. And Abraham listened to God. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but I know in Spain, we've got quite a few prayer warriors in our church. And I really thank God for prayer warriors. But sometimes, you know, we pray that much that we can't even hear what God is trying to tell us.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And God's there like saying, and we're like, praise God. And we just never stop, and we're praying and praying. And God's like, I want to tell you something. Let me. And we just don't stop. So sometimes we have to also be still. And Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. There are times when we have to shut up,
yeah.
Listen,
yeah.
To hear his word.
Yeah.
Abraham was a man who had a personal relationship with God. His relationship was so close. It was so close that he heard every word that God asked him.
Amen.
And not just that, he trusted in everything God asked him to do. So the first thing is that Abraham heard the word of God. Secondly, Abraham obeyed the word of God. He took his son without thinking twice. He didn't say, hang on a minute, Lord. What? No, he says, take your son and take him. He just got him and he took him and he went. He didn't think twice. He just did it. Did it. How many times does God ask us for things and we argue with him? It took me 2 years to get this pain. How many blessings may have I lost in that time? I don't know. I ended up getting there. Okay, fine. But sometimes we lose blessings because we don't obey immediately. So, the second point is that Abraham obeyed God. If we want to be blessed, if you want to be blessed, obey God. Obey him. Obey his word. What is the opposite to obedience? Or you're obedient, or you're
disobedient.
So, if we're disobedient, what are we going to get? Are we going to get blessing?
No.
We're going to get cursed. If we're being obedient, we get blessing. The opposite is disobedience and curse. And I don't want my family or my life to be cursed. And I want to be a man of God. I want to be blessed by God. And I want to hear his word. I want to put it in practice. Because when we do that, that is when God really blesses us. The third point is that he was willing to give God the most important thing of his life. And that was his one and only son. Are you willing to give God the most important thing of your life? Are we willing? Because sometimes we're not. Or should I say, most of the time, we're not. But if we do, seek ye first, as Andrew said yesterday, the King of the kingdom, all these other things shall be added unto you. Seek you first. God. Put him first. And everything else that you want in life, if it's according to the will of God, he'll give it to you. He will give it to you. I like football. I love it. I'm a Barcelona fan. I'm sorry, but I am. But that never comes before God. But I love football.
Yeah.
And I've been able to get season tickets, and I've been able to buy my seats there. God's opened the door for me, and I love football. But if it means I'm going to lose a meeting, I don't go to a football match. Okay? We've got to put things in order. Put God first, and then He'll bless you in what you like. Is there anything wrong in buying a good car? No. Why not? If you bless God, He's going to bless you. You can't outgive God. You cannot. It's impossible. I've tried it. Come on. I'm going to try this lump sum today. And this lump sum comes back double. And I don't do it because I want more. When God tells me, shh, Sammy, I want you to do this. And you do it, the blessing is guaranteed. It's guaranteed. It cannot fail. So that third part is, God, He was willing. Okay, second point, Abraham's faith. Verse 5, we see the statement of faith of Abraham. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and now verse 3, and saddled his donkey and took up his two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and split the wood and the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place in which God told him to go. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes up and saw the place afar. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. Me and the lad will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. We will come back to you. Abraham believed he was coming back with his son. But he was willing to sacrifice him. He believed that God was going to do a miracle. If he sacrificed his son, that God was going to raise him from the dead. He was going to bring him back. He believed that. He trusted that much in God. His relationship was that close with God that he knew that if God asked him for it, he was going to do it, but God would restore him. That's how much faith Abraham had in God. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19. It says here, by faith, Abraham was tested, offered up to Isaac, and who had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, to whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense, because he believed that if he had killed his son, God was going to raise him from the dead. That's how much faith Abraham had in his Almighty God. Now, how much faith do you have in your Almighty God today? Do you believe God can heal you? I believe God can heal you. There's nothing impossible for God. It doesn't matter. We cannot look at the situation. We cannot look at the problem. We cannot look at the necessity. We've got to look at God. And we've got to praise Him, and we've got to worship Him, and we've got to trust in Him. Because He can do it. All things are possible if you believe. All things are possible if you believe. Now I ask you, do you believe? Amen. I believe. Do you believe? Amen. So Abraham remembered the covenant that God had made with him. He remembered the covenant in chapter 17 that God will give him a son. And he did that. And he also, Abraham, what he didn't understand was why he was asking him to sacrifice him. This is what he didn't understand. He remembered that God had promised him a son. He'd got this son, But now God was saying, okay, now it's your time to sacrifice him. He didn't understand it. But even though he didn't understand it, he was willing to give it. You see, sometimes we try and put God in a box. And we try and think God out with our minds. And we try and do things logical with God. And we can't. It's illogical. God is illogical. He's higher than our ways. His thoughts are a lot higher than our thoughts. So, all we can do is just trust him. That's all we can do. But if we do trust him, and you put your faith in him, and you put your faith in his word, miracles will happen in your life. He had a blind faith in God. No matter what, he trusted him. I had a blind faith. I remember when I met my wife for the first time. God said to me, she's going to be your wife.
Amen.
I said, wow, she's gorgeous. And God says, she's going to be your wife.
Amen.
The first time I went to Spain, I saw her on the second day. She came to the church the day before I did. She started going to this church because her friend said to her, I want you to come with me to meet a pastor who's going to start a new church in Girona. And she went with her, her friend. Her friend didn't end up going to that church, but she stayed.
Amen.
The day before, God had a plan and purpose for her life and had a plan and purpose for my life. And God said to me, she's going to be your wife. And I thought, she ain't going to look at me. And she didn't. The whole year she didn't even look at me. And I ended up going back to England after the year's course. And a month later I went back there. And I said, God said, ask her out. I said, she hadn't even looked at me. I asked her out. I was in love with her. I had a blind love for her. And I asked her out. We were married 3 months later.
Right.
3 months married. We've been married 25 years. God, when he has a plan for your life and he tells you to do something, do it. If I hadn't had the courage to go and ask her, I might even not be married now. God put her in front of me. God said, do it. I was like, she's too gorgeous. Yeah, I did it. It happened. How many times do we lose a blessing from God for not obeying him? We do, we lose them. We can lose our blessings, you know. Okay. So, Genesis chapter 22, verse 7. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father. And he said, here I am, son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where's the offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide. God will provide for himself the lamb for that burnt offering. I can just imagine. I try and close my eyes and think, what would I do in this situation as a dad? I'm there and I'm Abraham. And my little son's saying, Dad, where's the sacrifice? He's been walking 3 days thinking, I'm on my way to kill my son. What would he mentally be like? Unstable? I'd be like a bag of nerves. But no. God will provide. God will provide. He had so much faith. And why? Because his relationship was so close with God. It's important, brothers and sisters, that we have that personal relationship with God. That we get to be that close, that we hear him all the time. Do you hear God speak to you? If you don't, I'll tell you why. Because you're not reading your Bible first. Because you're not having that personal relationship. But God wants that personal relationship with you. God doesn't want you to come and hear him speak through Andrew. He wants you to hear him for yourself. Through your own Bible. When you come on a Sunday, it's just to get a meal, that's all it is. A spiritual meal that Andrew's going to give you, the pastor's going to give you. You need to live your personal life with God, Monday to Sunday. And that comes by searching and looking and praying and spending time with him. And if you don't, what more do you expect? We need to spend time with God. So Abraham here, the poor guy is thinking, I've been walking 3 days, I've got to kill my own son. But he said, I believe in God. God will provide some. Third point, God is our provider. Genesis chapter 22, 9-12. Then they came to the place of which God told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar, in order. And he bound Isaac. Just imagine, he bound him. I'm trying to think, how old would Isaac be? Eh? He was a teenager, wasn't he? About 15, 16 years old. That's what I reckon, right? So I reckon that Isaac is not going to say, all right, Dad, just tie me up. Yeah. You know, it's like, Dad, what are you doing to me? There must have been a fight, you know, and he must have tied him up, and the situation must have been like delicate. Yeah. Not an easy situation. But he's there, and he's tying him up, and he's about to sacrifice him. So he bounds him up, and his son, he laid him on the altar upon the wood, and Abraham stretched out his hand and took his knife to slay his son. Took his knife. And it's there, but the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham! Abraham. And he heard him. He's just about to do it. And he said, here I am. He heard him. He heard the voice of God. He heard the angel tell him. And he said, do not lay a hand upon him, on the lad. Do not do anything to him, for I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wow. When God tests us, sometimes he waits to the last minute. To the last minute. But I tell you something, he never, ever is late. Ever. He's never late. For us, it might seem an eternity. You might have been asked to be healed, and you have not been healed yet. God will heal you in his timing. You might have asked for a raise at your work. You haven't been. God will do it. But in his time. And in this time, it's perfect timing. It doesn't matter what. God will never be late. But he takes his time because he wants you to grow in faith. He wants you to be tested, and he wants you to learn a lesson through everything he teaches you. Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Amen? Genesis 22, 13 and 14. Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by the thorns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called this place, the Lord will provide. And it is said today, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. Wow. God will provide. My last one. God brings blessing through obedience. Gracias. God brings blessing through obedience. God wants you to be blessed. Now, my question is, do you want to be blessed? God wants to bless you, but do you want to be blessed? How can we be blessed? Obey God. Obey Him. If you obey God, you've got a guaranteed blessing coming your way. But not only for you, not only for you, but you for your families. Do you want your children to be blessed? Do you want your children to be blessed? Yeah? Obey God. And God will bless them. Do you want your children to be blessed when you've got them? Obey God. And your children will be blessed. All your generations will be blessed if you obey God. You might think that one of your children is not in Christ right now. But I guarantee you, you put that child of yours in the hands of God, and you pray every day for that child will be saved. It might take its time, but God will do it. Because if you obey God, He will bless you, and He'll bless your family. We're a blessed nation. I did my last preaching in Spain. In Spain, in the evangelical church, okay, it's known that over 85% of the evangelical church in Spain are working. In our church the other day, I think it was about 160 people, I said, raise your hand, who's not working? 6 people put their hands up. We're a blessed nation. If you obey God, He'll bless you. You might not have a lot of wages, but you might be working. He'll bless you. Because it doesn't matter about the quantity. Because God doesn't bless you with money. He just blesses you with many things. He blesses you with the family. He blesses you spiritually. He blesses you economically. He blesses you in every single way of your life. And sometimes we think that a blessing is money. It's not. That's the last thing God wants you to bless you with. But He will. If you don't put money first in your mind, He'll give you all the money in the world. If you're a giver, He'll give you more money. And if you give to other people who give, He'll give you more money. And the more you give, the more you get. But if you're in your mind, is I want to earn money, He won't give you it. Because you're putting it before God. So God brings blessings to those who are obedient. Not just you, but your families as well, and your nations. And also it says, we will be conquerors for the nations. You guys are foreigners, yeah? What country are you from? What country? Ecuador. Anybody else in another country here? No, it doesn't matter. Okay. You've been brought to this country to win souls for Christ. You haven't come to earn money. If you're here, because God has brought you to here to win souls for Christ. Hallelujah. I was sent to Spain to win souls for Christ. Not to earn money. The English are here to win souls for Christ as well. You know, I want to tell you something. What's your name? When you was playing, God spoke to me about you. And God told me to tell you that He's going to build up with you. He's going to build you up in the ministry of music. And you're going to have a wonderful music team. It's going to use you in a special way. I want you to know that. Honestly. God's going to use you in a special way. You've got a special gift. Use it for God. Use it for God. He's going to bless you in a mighty way. God wants to bless you all. He wants to bless us all. But we've got to be obedient. And if we are obedient to God, doesn't matter what the situation is, He's going to bless you. Do you believe it? Amen. So let's have a quick summary here. First, we've got the test. God will sometimes test us as Christians. He's going to put you through trials and tribulations. But if we overcome them and we remember the covenant that God has done with us, we will overcome every trial and every tribulation. And God wants to see how much really we love Him. How much you really love Him. And you'll endure. You'll get to the end. And you'll get through that trial and that test. And you'll say, thank you, Jesus. You're such a marvelous God. I got through that test. Look at it. You know, God put me test through Andrew. You know, I got through it. So, if I can, you can. And the second one is Abraham's faith. There'll be a time in your life where you're going to have to put faith in action. You're going to have to put your faith in action. The trial and the test might be that big that you're going to have to say, God, I can only trust in you. But if you put your faith in Him, you will prevail. You've got to give that 100% faith in Him. Do you know what faith is? Can you see faith? We can't see it. We just got to trust. It's just saying, okay, Lord, here I am. The situation is big. But the Bible says if you've got a faith the size of what? A what? A what? A mustard seed. Do you know the mustard seed is the smallest seed there is? That's how much faith we need to move a mountain. And we've all had mountains. And I've moved many of them. We just sometimes forget. Third, God is our provider. When you least expect it, God will provide for the situation. When you least expect it, God will provide for your situation. And then fourth, God brings blessing through what? Obedience. God brings blessing through obedience. Obey Him, and He will bless you. Let's close our eyes a moment. Jesus. Oh, Señor. We've all had the chance of hearing the word this evening. But I believe there are people here today that needed to hear this word. There are people here tonight, this evening, that needed to hear that God is with you. It doesn't matter how big the trial, it doesn't matter how big the test you're going through, He is with you. He is bigger than your trial, He is bigger than your test, and He is now here. And I feel there are a few people here tonight that need to realize how important it is to trust God. To trust in Him 100% of your life. To trust him 100% for the situation you're going through. To believe in him no matter what. There are people who have been disobedient to God. Maybe God's asked something from you. And you've been fighting God. And you know what's true, and you know what is right, and you know that he's called you, and he's asking this thing from you, and you haven't been able to do it. Now you've got to take that step of faith and say, okay, Lord, here I am. I want to give it to you. It's time. If there's anybody here tonight, you feel that way, I want you to come forward. We're going to pray for you. Now the enemy is going to be speaking to you as well. He's going to say, look, it's a load of rubbish. Don't go out. You don't need prayer. But I tell you, your heart knows if you need prayer or not. If your heart is pumping now, and you know, come out. I'm going to pray for you. God is here. Spirit is here. I'm going to wait. So there are people who need prayer tonight. It's your decision. Start to praise the Lord. Just lift up your voices now and start worshiping. Hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. Oh, Señor. Holy Spirit. Santa Rabbide. Señor.